is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. GM, good to see you today.
Yes, yes, doing well. Extra day of rest before the big tilt tomorrow. So?
Well, it's an extra day of rest for you because that means you don't have to stay up to watch a game.
That's right.
So you get that extra
get
day of rest
as
well.
Sleep.
Speaking of a little programming shift we're going to have here on the show today, Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House, usually on Thursdays at 5 o'clock, will be on today. I was going to say on Wednesday. Wednesday is today. Will be today at 5 o'clock because we know that at 5 o'clock tomorrow, 2 hours before puck drop of game four, everybody up 3-0 is going to be just fired up.
Oh, yeah. They won't want to talk any football. No. That's for sure.
So Ask the GM today is at 5 o'clock as opposed to tomorrow. Now, speaking of this Predator series, you know, something that you and I were kind of kicking around was kind of the gap between Chicago and Nashville. Because if you listen to us here on 102.5 The Game, or you listen to the practice interviews or stuff from the Predators, everybody's happy. Everybody's excited. You're up 3-0. You're playing probably what I think is the best hockey in the history of the franchise. Everything looks great. Last night, I started to watch some Comcast Sportsnet Chicago television.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like they're mortified. They cannot believe the fact that the Blackhawks are down 3-0. They can't believe how badly the Blackhawks have looked. They don't think the Blackhawks have a chance. I mean, it is pretty dire in Chicago right now. But my real question is, how big is the gap between the two teams? Because even though the Preds are up 3-0, the Blackhawks lost one game by a goal when they were firing pucks at the net in game one and just didn't score, and lost another game in overtime. Now, there was the one blowout, but two of these three games have been right down to the wire. So is the gap really that big between the Preds and the Hawks? What is it? How big is that gap in your mind?
Well, I don't I mean, in playoff hockey, if you look like the night that we won in overtime, every game was in overtime and every team won by one goal. So, I mean, I think that's common in NHL playoff hockey. It's going to be close, except for the 1-7-0 blowout last night. But generally speaking, it's going to be close. It's going to come right down to the wire. It's going to go into overtime a lot of times. And that's the difference between those teams that end up with 3 and the teams that end up with 0. So I don't know, you know, how you judge. Because, I mean, before all this started, you know, you thought Chicago was the absolute best team and not even close, and you know, all of that, and now we're finding out that you know, either they're a really, really good team that's played not so hot, or we're an eighth seed that is playing out of our mind, or it's someplace in between. And I've always been the type that whenever you think it's really in any professional sport, with the exception, there are exceptions, but generally, when you think one team is that much better than the other or that much worse than the other, the truth is it's probably someplace in between.
Well, remember when the Titans boat raced Jacksonville on Thursday Night Football?
Right.
And then played them a month later and got their butts kicked?
Right.
I don't think it's like that, but the gap between where the Titans and Jags really were from a talent standpoint was really not that big, even though you embarrassed them on Thursday Night Football. And in fact, as you kept bringing up throughout the course of the year, Jacksonville might have had the best 22 of any team in the AFC South. The way I look at it is this. If we were just to think high-end talent, even though the Predators' best talent has outplayed Chicago's best talent, Chicago probably has the best player on the ice in Patrick Kane. He is probably the best individual player there is. Outside of that, the Preds' stars have played like stars. Forsberg, 2 goals. Arvidsson, a game-winning goal. Pekka's been fantastic, and the defense has been great. But if you're Nashville, your top two D pairs have absolutely stifled Chicago. And really, Matt Irwin and Weber, your third D pair, has done a good job. But your top two D pairs have absolutely stifled them. And you've scored across all four lines. If you're a Chicago Blackhawk fan, the Predators have three lines that you have to be legitimately worried about scoring when they're on the ice. For me, watching the Blackhawks the last couple of nights, I'm really only worried about one line. And that's when 88 goes over the boards and Patrick Kane, their second line, when he's out there on the ice. So they've got one line that I'm concerned about offensively and maybe one D pairing, and that's the one with Duncan Keith that I would be a little concerned about. Their goalie is good. He's played well in this series. But I'm not, you know, when some of these lines are out there, when these guys, the Nick Schmaltzes of the world, I'm not worried about those guys. And that's where I think the gap comes from, is if you're Chicago, you do have to be worried about Pontus Aubergh and Kevin Fiala and Colton Sissons and Harry Zolnerchuk. But if you're the Preds, who are you worried about? To me, you're worried about one guy, and it's Kane.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this yesterday, and I kind of, my gut feeling is that the Preds are the better team. They've got better, from top to bottom, they're better than Chicago. Given that, Chicago's got the best two or three or four, however many, what number you want to attach, probably on the ice. So, you know, which one can you win championships with? I don't know. I mean, the truth is, I think the way that they've won in the past is they think they're in the same spot, but they're really not. You know, there are two or three or four guys that they've lost because of cap casualties, and their hope was, well, okay, we're going to keep these four or five top-notch guys. You know, two or three are as good as anybody on the ice. And that will be enough to get us over the hump. And the bottom line is it may not be. I mean, it may be, there may be such a thing that depth and some of the things that I thought Peter worked on getting ready for this playoff may be as important. You know, you're going to have to keep rotating guys in there. You're going to have to get play out of your third line, and you're going to have to be able to stop Mondeva. You're going to have to do all those things. And I think that, that's why that, you know, if you look at the Preds, I mean, we may have, especially if it talked to you, but I mean, we may have a backup goalie that can play for anybody in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many people have that luxury? Not many. So I think we're kind of seeing a little bit of that across the board.
Well, and I just looked up, you know, the 2015 Chicago Blackhawks 2 years ago, because we all remember, was it Nick Schmaltz that had the breakaway shot that had the attempt on Pekka? So it's Nick Schmaltz. Well, Nick Schmaltz is a rookie, and Nick Schmaltz can't, you know, convert that play. If that's Brandon Saad, who's now in Columbus, who was a cap casualty, does Brandon Saad score there? I think he probably does, especially because Brandon Saad's given the Preds fits in Columbus even after having moved there as well. But, two, think about the ages. 2 years ago when you lost to this team, Nicholas Hjalmarsson was 27 years old. Now he's 29. And I think we're seeing some of that, too. Hossa looks older. Oduya looks older. Even Duncan Keith looks older. So while your guys, your Yossis, are now entering the prime of their careers, some of the guys in the prime of their careers for the Chicago Blackhawks are entering the exit stage. Duncan Keith is 33 years old. Johnny Oduya is 35. So we're starting to see some of that, too. The gap, I agree with you, talent-wise, from what I've seen in this series, the Preds are the better team. The question is, though, two of these three games have been close, and I expect tomorrow night's, if the Predators don't just come out and score two goals off the bat and Chicago just turtles in, I expect tomorrow night to be close, too. So I wonder, you know, we always talk about puck luck or, you know, making the play, or if the gap's not that big between Nashville and Chicago, then how far away is Chicago from winning a game in this series and kind of altering where this thing looks like it's headed? That's kind of a question in my head.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're going to have to, the bottom line is they're going to have to win four in a row, and we've got to win one. And so, you know, however you get that one, it doesn't matter. And, we're going to talk to some people today, and one of the questions I want to ask them is, you know, how big is a sweep? How big is sweeping? Is it, in the long term, is it better for your club to sweep, or is it better to go ahead and lose one or two and then win it? You know, is there a difference mentally in where you go and how it affects you long term? Or is it, you know, the bottom line is, hey, we won it, and let's move on.
As someone who's going to be in attendance tomorrow night, I'll just say I'll go ahead and take the sweep if I can do that. Is that okay?
No, not for you.
I can't. I don't mean pick the sweep. I'm not picking the sweep. I'm saying, you know, you're saying, hey, would it be better to lose a game or two? I'll take the sweep. If my options are sweeping or losing a game or two, I'll take the sweep. If you just offered that to me, you know, like, carrot cake or would you like the lemon cake?
I'm just wondering what would be best for the club.
Right. And I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer to that is.
Well, here's what we'll do. We'll take your call. 615-737-1025 is the number. 615-737-1025. And coming up next, boy, things are dire in Chicago. You got to hear how it's going there. We'll get to that. Plus, what is it going to take if Chicago is going to get momentum back in the series? What has to happen? We'll get to that next, too. Plus, in the next segment, we're going to be giving away another pair of tickets for Game 4 as part of our hashtag RockTheGold campaign on social media. So all of that is coming up a huge day today. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Joining us now from Nashville is our Chris Bowden, manning the elements. CB, which of these words best describes the mood around the Blackhawks right now? Desperate, confident, or perhaps subdued?
Well, out of those three words right now, I would have to say a little resigned over the way things have gone so far. They were certainly more desperate on Monday night in the matchup in Game 3 when they took a 2-0 lead. But right now, I think these Blackhawks are starting to feel any button that they happen to push isn't the right one, or it just isn't working against a team that is much better than them. And I think this Nashville team is starting to give the Blackhawks a taste of what they've been giving other teams over the course of the past 7 years.
Comcast Sportsnet Chicago doesn't sound very positive if you're a Chicago TV viewer who got that last night on his television.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're down 3. I mean, it's hard to, and the part that's unique, we were talking about this today. I mean, in the last 10 days in Chicago, Cubs have gotten their World Series ring. The basketball team's in the playoffs, which was a shock to everybody.
And kicking butt.
And this team, which everybody expected to get into the finals, is struggling. So I don't know, but there's a lot going on in Chicago.
Well, the way that they made it sound, though, in that clip, they asked, you know, are they confident? What are they? And he said resigned. That tells me the Chicago Blackhawks don't have a lot of momentum in this series. So,
well, I think that's for sure.
And I don't think anyone would doubt that.
Yeah.
So if they don't, just from the Chicago standpoint, how do they get it back? Can they get it back? What has to happen for Chicago to get some momentum? And what do the Predators have to do to keep that from happening? Because if there is anything in the world that they can, in my mind, not let Chicago do, it's get some momentum and get some hope.
Well, I think to get true momentum, it's going to take, you know, more than one win. I mean, they're going to have to win a couple in a row to really get back the momentum, you know, get back the strut. That being said, I think when we talk about one game, like we talk about a game this week, I think it's going to, if we could jump out early, jump out and really play well and get a couple of goals and all that kind of stuff, then it's really, really going to be hard for them to come back, because they're going to be sitting there saying, geez, we only scored 2 against this goalie in 3 games, and now we got to pick up 2 or 3 in one game? I don't know. It's going to be hard. So I think from our standpoint, if we could just get on them early and really, you know, people talk about stepping on their throat and, you know, whatever else the cliches are. But, I mean, we just need to not let them get all that excited. I mean, they could they come out? I mean, they're a proud franchise.
And they have great championship players.
And they've got championship caliber players. And so they're going to come out to start, and they're going to play this game just like every other game that they've played. And we're going to have to match that for a while. And hopefully something good happens, and then, you know, at a point in time, wear them down.
You know, I think there's only a handful of players in the history of the NFL that could come back in the Super Bowl the way that Tom Brady did, right? You know, right. What were they down? What was it, 24-3?
23, something like that. They were.
So they're down in the Super Bowl, and everybody, if there's one person on the planet who can come back from down that much, it's Brady. Kane and Taves are Brady. Right. Brady did not look that good in the first half of that game. Brady threw a pick six in the Super Bowl. I mean, even he looked bad early in that game. But Brady never lost faith in Brady. And those guys are Brady. So they're not going to lose faith in themselves. I'm telling you, Taves is not worried about whether or not Jonathan Taves is capable of coming back. He thinks he can. Patrick Kane, same way. I think the thing that would give them the momentum that you cannot let them have is I don't feel like, even if you lose game four, I don't think it's the end of the world. But if they come out of one of these games feeling like they've solved Pecorine, that's the momentum that I don't think you can give them. Because even though they scored on him twice two nights ago, it's not like they think they've solved this guy. You know, he has been the biggest riddle for them. Even that play that he made where they were going to get a lucky bounce goal and Pekka turns around and just keeps the puck out of the net. Like, they do not know how to solve him right now. They have no idea. Don't let them think that they have. So I don't care if the Predators lose tomorrow night. If they lose 1-0 or 2-1, but Pekka's still playing great, I think you're fine. If they go and beat you 5-3, and now all of a sudden they feel like they've solved your goaltender, that I think will give them the momentum where they can kind of feel like, okay, now we've done the one thing that we couldn't do the whole series, and that solved this goalie. Now we're in good shape. Because I promise you what they're probably saying to themselves is just get back to Chicago. Just find a way to get back to Chicago. And if you get back to Chicago, then you can really make it 3-2. And that's probably the only thing that I would be saying if I was in that locker room was get back to Chicago. And so don't let them solve your goaltender. That's the one thing I think if they were going to get momentum. And you're right, winning a game will give you a little momentum. But we're talking the serious stuff. That is what would give them the serious stuff if they feel like they've solved Pekka.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they were to win on four and then go back to Chicago and win five, then they would feel like they've got a chance now. You know, all they have to do is win the next one, get them back home, and then go from there. I would agree. I mean, Pekka's done well, but there are so many other aspects to that too. You know, I mean, they haven't solved the Johansson Taves problem for them. You know, I mean, that's been an issue. And the Subban, you know, I mean, all of those kinds of things. I mean, there are a lot of guys, I think, that have played really, really well that has really helped Pekka and would help any goalie out. And given that, Pekka has been super, there's no doubt.
Let's go to your phones at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, that whole thing about them feeling like they have solved the goalie, I don't think that's going to happen. But that would be in the best interest of the Predators for it to not happen. Jeff, thank you for calling. Get us started today. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I got through twice. I got through yesterday and today. That's awesome. when you got the foot on the neck like that, you got to close out. You got to close out. They have to go in there with that attitude. The thing that I want to say is, GM.
Yes, sir.
Floyd.
Yeah.
Crow tastes best with barbecue sauce. Give it to him. You got him. You got your foot on his neck, too. they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Like I said yesterday, they have the confidence. They feel it. They're owning this thing right now. And it's amazing. It's amazing to watch.
It is.
And I'll take your questions off the off. I'll take your answer off the air.
Appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
I would say this about the situation the Predators are in. About the confidence is even though the goal differential in the two close games is one goal both ways, the confidence is 100 on the Pred side and 0 on Chicago's side.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing that I would say is alarming if you're a Blackhawks fan is their confidence is just absolute 0. Right? I mean, it seems awful.
I mean, if you watch them and look at them and, you know, look at their expressions on their face and look at the body language and look at some things like that. I mean, there's no doubt, but they're dejected. You know, can they get that back? I mean, that'll be the test. And it's going to be hard. I mean, we just have to keep in mind, I think from our standpoint, we have to anticipate they're going to come out and play the best hockey they've played all year long and see where it gets them. And we're going to have to match that.
But wouldn't we have said that? We said that about the last two games before they happened, too.
Yeah.
We said, hey, this is going to be Chicago's best shot now.
Yeah.
This is going to be the best chance they have is coming tonight. And it never felt like, well, it did in game three. In game three, it felt like Chicago gave you their best shot, and it wasn't good enough in the long run. But I didn't feel personally like Chicago's best shot is that much better than anything the Preds can fire their way. Back to your phones we go. 615-737-1025. Oh, hold on a second. I do want to give a shout out before we get to the phones. We got a big smile. I do have a shout out I want to give. And it's to Eric Nystrom, former Predators forward. Used to have the Eric Nystrom show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He sent out a tweet yesterday, and it said, quote, at eNystrom23, gotta love the fan support for the Preds on at 102.5 The Game right now. Borrowed my buddy's truck and haven't changed the station. City is buzzing. And we appreciate that on so many levels because I think the biggest thing is we're trying. I mean, this is the big story in this town. Everybody's talking about the Predators. So if everybody's talking about the Predators, we need to be talking about the Predators because that's what you want to talk about. That's what you care about. That's what you sold out in 3 minutes on Monday. So we're talking Preds.
This is. I was thinking about this today, too, because when I get a city like this and you see them on fire, and like you said, it's the conversation literally everywhere. In the restaurants, you know, on the radio, on the TV, I don't care what you're doing. It has something to do with the Preds. Those people that think having sports franchises isn't important, you need to experience days like this. Imagine what this would be like if you were someplace without the Preds. Imagine if you didn't have the sports franchises. That's why this is why they are so important to cities. And it's more than just the money involved. I mean, this whole city is in a good mood simply because of a hockey team. You know, as crazy as that sounds. But you watch it. You will go downtown walking up and down. Everybody's got a Preds hat, a Preds t-shirt, a Preds gold something. I mean, it's a giant deal.
You know how many people talk to, we meet out in public, and I mean, it's got to be different for you because you used to be GM of the Titans, but there'll be people that I meet that are like, dude, I listen to the show every day, and I get so many times people go, I listen to you guys because you guys talk about the Preds.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys talk about the Preds, you talk about the Titans, you talk about the Vols, you talk about the things we care about. And to me, I don't think the city's ever been more excited about what the Preds are doing right now than being up 3-0 in this series and what they've been doing. So we appreciate our listeners that enjoy that, and we're trying to give you that Preds talk because we know you want it. And we've got insight. We always bring on great guests, whether it's Terry Crisp or Stu Grimson or Robbie Stanley or, you know, Willie on 3D has unbelievable insight. Darren was with the team in Chicago. I mean, we are trying to bring you guys the best Preds coverage we can because we know that that's what you want and because this is for you. So we're very excited for that. And we thank all of our partners, too, who have partnered with us, you know, and that want to be a part of the station as we continue to give you guys what we think is the best coverage we can. And they play a great role in that. So for our advertisers, we ask that you guys visit them as well. But also want to give a shout out and a thank you to Eric Nystrom for sending out that tweet.
That was nice.
It was very nice. And it was very important, at least to me and I know to you as well, to kind of thank us for what we're doing. And we thank you back for it. All right. Time to give away some tickets. The winner via our Rock the Gold campaign on Twitter is Jay Hyde at JHyde15, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, on Twitter this time. He submitted a photo, and to claim your tickets, Jay Hyde, call us now at 615-399-1029. That's 615-399-1029. Again, the winner is Jay Hyde. We are doing it again. We are going to give you an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup playoffs as the Preds go for the sweep against the Chicago Blackhawks. That's Thursday. Send us a photo via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram of you showing your Preds pride, and make sure to tag us and use the hashtag RockTheGold. Your next chance to win is today at 3:25. Congratulations, Jay Hyde. You are the winner here. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your Preds calls. Plus, something I'm really excited about, Floyd. I'm what so excited that? About it. You'll have to see. Okay. But I'm excited. That's next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game. Something I did not know about until I heard it on 3D this morning as I was driving in. Apparently, Philip Forsberg said on the NHL Network that Fiala got up in front of everybody in the locker room and said, I'm going to score the game winner, and then went out there and did it. And it was funny because Harry Zolnerchuk was on 3D today and said, oh, didn't know that was that had gotten out of the room. But, look, that is confidence right there, and that's the kind of confidence I like in young people.
It's called a swagger.
It's that swagger.
That's the swagger.
You know, there's a story that Brady told his closest friends at Michigan, and he didn't have a ton of friends in college, but that Brady told his closest friends in Michigan when he got drafted by the Patriots, he told them, oh, I'm going to take Bledsoe's job. And they were like, Tom, he just signed a $100 million contract. I know. I'm going to take his job.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that sound like something Tom would say?
You know, to somebody close.
Because but he would never say that to you.
And he would never, it wouldn't be braggadocious. It would be matter-of-factly. You know, yeah, I'm going to go take his job.
Let's go to your phones. Chad is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Chad?
Fellas, good show. Like what you guys are doing, supporting the Preds, and I think it's going to pay off for y'all good ratings right now and all that good stuff. But I do want to say this. I am going to predict the Blackhawks get back in this series, and I think – if that does happen, which I believe it will, if they get a big win tonight, the pressure is going to start to go towards on Nashville. You know, if they're up 3-0 and they can't pull this sweep off, you're going to see a major change in the pressure, and things could really change. If the Predators do not close this series off tonight, which I don't believe they will, I think the Blackhawks then going home can make this a 3-2 series on home ice, and then all of a sudden, where's the pressure?
That's an interesting point.
Does
Thanks,
it does, in your mind? I was going to ask him if he. No big deal. I was just curious if he thought it would take the win here and the win there to change the pressure.
I think that will change a little pressure if they get those two.
That if he got both of them.
You know, one thing I am concerned about just a little bit is the fact that the Predators. You know, we talked about, hey, play in Chicago in a playoff series. Well, they've been there before. They've done that. They have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Being up 2-0 coming home, they've been there before. They have that experience. They did that last year against Anaheim. They've never been up 3-0. You know, I worry about the fact that they've had practice on the other two. This, they've never done before. So how will that affect them? Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to take a little bit of a Preds breather and then get right back on it. But first, something I want to get to today because we won't have time to get to it tomorrow. But the NFL announced they're releasing the schedule for next season at 7 o'clock.
Tomorrow.
7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Yeah.
They're releasing the schedule.
Do they know there's a Preds game?
Apparently they do not. But I've got the Titans opponents in front of me, and I wonder how many national television games they'll get. Now, they have the one mandatory Thursday night game, but outside of that, do you think they could sneak another one out there maybe?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
How many national TV games do you think the Titans will get next year?
If they get two, they'll be pretty fortunate.
Including the Thursday night mandatory game?
Yeah.
I think you're probably right. So I'm going to make a prediction here on what the Titans' TV schedule is going to look like and where they're going to get their national games. So first let's start with CBS, because CBS is obviously they have the AFC package. So here are the games that are going to be, in my mind, on CBS next year. Okay, there we go. At Cleveland, at Arizona, at San Francisco, at Miami, at Jacksonville, at Houston. Houston at home, Jacksonville at home, Indy at home, Cincinnati at home, and Baltimore at home, all on CBS. I don't feel like I see a national game in that group other than maybe at home versus Baltimore, but even then, Baltimore and Nashville aren't the biggest television markets in the world, so I'm not feeling good about that one. So then there are the games that have to be on Fox. Now, the way that the Titans games get on Fox is if the NFC team is on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So those should be pretty straightforward, but here are the two Fox games. Seattle at home, which means I'm saying Seattle at home next year is not going to be a nationally televised game. And Los Angeles at home, which I think we both can agree that the Rams is definitely not going to be a nationally televised game.
Right.
By the way, the music gets you a little excited? A little bit?
Yeah.
So then I got, for the Titans' sake, I'm with you. Two nationally televised games, one Monday night football game. Can I get a little Monday night? Oh, yeah. If only Sean McDonough wasn't calling the games. Monday night football at Nissan Stadium. There it is. Versus the Titans. They play Oakland at home. The reason I factor this in is I don't think Oakland will get a national game at home this year.
At home?
Yes. I don't think they'll give the Raiders a home game on national TV because the crowd is going to be so bad. So I think their national TV games are going to be the ones that are on the road. Oakland comes here. I think, you know, a Derek Carr versus Mariota game, that's good enough to get Monday Night Football, which is usually like the third or fourth best game of the year. And that leaves one spot open, Floyd. I think they change it up on Thursday Night Football. Hold on, wait off on the music. Hold up on the music. I think they changed it up. It's been Jacksonville 3 years in a row. I think they totally changed that up, and it's not Jacksonville. I think it's on the road at Indianapolis is the Thursday night game of the week because they can get a decent TV matchup with Mariota and with Andrew Luck, and I am hoping and praying that it's on NBC's Thursday night package and not CBS's Thursday night package.
You put a lot of thought into this.
Well, here's why I hope it's not. Because the open that NBC has with the Pentatonics, the band that's like the a cappella group that crushes it, is unbelievable. And I love the CBS. So go ahead and give me a little bit of that Pentatonics.
Weekend starts now. No mistletoe in sight. It's the Giants and Eagles on Thursday night. So let's go.
I mean, doesn't this is great?
You watch way too much TV. Way
football.
Too much. I don't care what it is.
A little bit louder now. I'll tell you what. Titans and Colts on the NBC Thursday night package. Please give me that. Give me Al, Chris, Heather Cox. I don't want Tony Romo calling my Thursday night football game. So give me the good crew. So that's my hope, is that I'm going to say, and the four games I think could be possible national games are one of the two Indy games, Oakland, Baltimore, Seattle. Other than that, I don't think, like, they're not going to make San Francisco and the Titans a national game. They're not going to make Arizona the Titans a national game. Cincinnati, Miami, Jacksonville, Houston, they're not the Rams. Those are the four games that might get on TV. Indy, Oakland, Baltimore, Seattle. Your thoughts?
Okay.
You hate TV.
I don't.
You
hate
everything that has to do with TV.
All. This just has no. I mean, we've gone from picking teams and picking games, and now we're picking which TV station we want it on. I mean, I really don't care.
You don't care at all?
I don't care at all.
You hate television. Remember when we were talking about the Titans and playing on a Sunday night, and you were like, you watch too much TV to care about Sunday night football. I don't care about Sunday night football.
You want to determine games by who the broadcasters are. I don't care who they are.
Right. I like it when the Titans in Nashville get the number one crew. I was pumped up that we had Doc Emrick calling the Preds game Saturday night. And not only that, I was pumped up about the fact that the Preds are going to kick that butt on Saturday night game of the week.
We were talking about Jacksonville, Monday of Jacksonville week, how big a game that was going to be. And the only thing you could do was see the Jacksonville win and us being on Sunday night football.
I remember I had it all planned out.
You had
the Packers had to win. The Lions had to lose so that that game didn't matter and so that we could get Sunday night football. By the way, Zach,
to do the schedule.
Zach says on Twitter that the Pentatonix intro is the worst. Zach, I know you're a loyal listener. You're a hater. Don't be a hater. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, will join us next. It's Jared and the GM, and it's right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Something very interesting happened on our show yesterday, and that was Trevor Maddich going off on Derrick Henry missing voluntary workouts. And then we found out, Trevor knew, too, that Henry was in class. Trevor just disagreed with him. And I was a little surprised about how strong Trevor felt about Derrick Henry missing optional team workouts. Because you and I both said on the 10 scale it was like a 2 for us and not that big of a deal. But here was Trevor Maddich on our show yesterday about Derrick Henry missing voluntary workouts with the Titans.
Well, it either means that he's a completely naive knucklehead who is not paying attention, or football's not his biggest priority, one of the two. Because, I mean, Jarrell Casey just hammered him. And that's a real problem when you're a second-year running back and not even the starter. I mean, it's not about working out. He's in Alabama working out with their strength staff. It's one of the best in the country in college. I mean, he'll be in shape. That's not you're not trying to impress your strength coach by being there on day one. You're not trying to impress your coaching staff. You're trying to show your teammates that you're the guy that'll charge the hill with them.
So that was Trevor. That was pretty strong. We bring in a former Titans player, Chris Sanders, who joins us now.
Wait.
Chris, your thoughts not only on what Trevor said, but also your thoughts on Derrick Henry missing the voluntary workouts and not telling anybody about it.
Okay, that's the key. I mean, I'm going to talk about the good part about it. The good part about it is, yes, you want to get your degree. Yes, you want to go to college. But the bad part about it is you didn't communicate with anybody. I mean, just imagine, just I have a job here. I work in Montgomery Bell Academy, and I have to do something in New York. If I don't tell the boss that I'm coming back in town and I just don't show up, I'm going to get fired because that's my job. It's just about communicating with your leaders of the team and then communicating with your head coach. I mean, the guy that was just talking, he said something so profound. It's not just about, you know, winning over the coaches. It's about winning over your players. And when he said Jarrell Casey, I wrote down this quote. He says this. This is the quote that Jarrell Casey said. It says, "It puts a check mark in the back of your mind and let you know, can you count on this guy? When it's fourth down, will you get those yards? When it's fourth and three and you have to block that strong safety blitz, can I count on you?" So those are huge, huge words.
Can I not make the argument, though, that maybe we should be analyzing what Casey said more so than what Henry did or didn't do? I mean, is it really worth him missing a day of voluntary workouts? Is it really worth what Jarrell Casey said about it?
Yes. I mean, it's just not about missing the workout, just like what you said. It's about how it was done. You didn't communicate with anybody. Basically, you're saying, my stuff is important than the team. And that's what gets you in trouble because last year we talked about building a culture of having teammates, not a whole bunch of guys that have that I mentality. When you start doing that and little things start to infiltrate, it can destroy the whole culture. So we really got to focus on what Jarrell Casey says, because he's one of your defensive leaders. And when you have one of your defensive leaders saying that about you, that's huge. That's really huge.
Were you surprised at all, Chris, that at least nobody's come forward admitting to having talked to him in the off season? I mean, no other running back, no coach, nobody's talked to him. Somebody had to have talked to him. Somebody, don't you think?
Maybe T-Rex talked to him. I don't know, but but see, you know, Floyd, that's a problem. When you know you're building a winning team, and you're building a culture of guys that want to make the right choices. These are the little things that we're talking about. I mean, just imagine if it was Tom Brady with the Patriots. And he had to miss. You don't think he'll let the whole team know? He'll let everybody know. Why? Because it means something to him. And when something means something to you, you're going to do those little things by calling the coach, by calling the player, say, listen, guys, you know, I got a situation to where I got to go to class. But then on the flip side, let me back up just a little bit more. He knew the dates where OTAs were. He knew the date where he started school. So in between that time, all you got to do is pick up the phone. That's all you got to do.
What would you say? What would you say on a 10 scale? Because Floyd and I, we did this yesterday with Trevor. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the worst thing that it could have been for Derrick Henry, where do you put it? Because we put it at like a 2.
I'd say about a 4 or 5.
The former players seem to care about this more than we do.
It should be. I mean, it should be because they're the ones that's on the field. You know what I'm saying? Because, when I heard Malarkey speak, he said, well, it's not mandatory. He may say it's not mandatory, but basically it is, because if you can't be committed to coming to OTAs and saying, you know what, whatever I have to do, you know, I'll make sure I do it later, then how are you going to be committed in 2-a-days? How are you going to be committed on fourth down? How are you going to be committed to doing the little things? This is a little thing that you got to improve on, period.
Well, the thing that bothered me, I think, was, I mean, three things, really. I wasn't all that excited about what Casey said. And I wasn't all that excited about what Malark said, to be completely honest.
Right.
But if he would have just called and said, you know what, I got out of college as a junior.
Right.
I promised my mama I was going to get my degree, and I'm in school right now, and I won't be there until May the 5th. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Everybody, and then Malark gets up there and they go, do you know where he is? He promised his mama he was going to finish school, and he's back there finishing school, be May 5th. Everybody thought, what a great guy he is.
Exactly.
Promised his mom, and he's carrying through with it. I mean, it's fantastic. So.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Just imagine you're working at the station, and Miss Reese says she has a nice dinner waiting for you. You got steak, you got your favorite Kool-Aid, all that stuff is good. And you don't show up and communicate that you're not coming home. What's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. It'd get ugly fast.
But what if you say, you know what? I might not can't make it till 10 o'clock. She was like, okay, I'll make sure it's hot for you because you communicated with her.
Yeah. And
that's the same thing.
And
yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. And it's true for anything. You know, if we were going to go out and have dinner and I was going to be an hour late or something, I'd call, hey, Chris, I'm going to be an hour late. I'll be there. Oh, cool. Okay, fine. You know, I mean, you don't just blow it off.
Yeah. But you know why you do that, Mr. Reese? It's because your wife means something to you, and you respect what she's doing for you. And the Tennessee Titans drafted this guy because they love what he's doing. But on the flip side, he's got to in turn do the exact same thing. You say, you know what? Yes, I'm in college, but let me call the head coach and call the leaders of the team. So now when Malarkey does an interview, he can know what he's talking about, just exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Chris, I mean, Floyd talks about you all the time being a guy that always did the right thing. So if you're a veteran on the Titans and Derrick Henry shows up after he gets his degree, would you say something to him? Would you not say? I mean, how would you approach him?
I just think that, you know, I wouldn't want to blow this thing out of proportion. I think I'll just watch his body language. You know what I mean? Watch his body language. Just watch how he practices. You know, watch how he listens to the coach and watch, is this guy buying in all the way? And if he's not buying in all the way, then, you know, I would sit down and really, you know, talk to him. I remember, Steve McNair, you know, I kind of messed up in a couple of games and did some wrong things, whatever, whatever. And he came to me not as a teammate. He came to me as a man and said, you know what? What's going on, man? Are you doing all right? What can I do to help to make sure that I'm in position to do the right thing? And that's exactly what I would do with Henry. I would sit down and say, listen, if you're going to be on this ship to go to the Super Bowl, then you got to be on 100%. It can't be 99.9. It's got to be 110% in everything that you do.
Chris Sanders, as always. Chris, next week we have an NFL draft to talk about.
Oh, my gosh.
It was good, though, to get that insight on Henry. I honestly didn't think that would be our whole discussion. But
man, it's a pleasure, man. Thank you.
As always, Chris, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, okay, Chris.
Bye-bye. Yep. Thank you.
Chris Sanders joining us here. Boy, the former players have an issue with Derrick Henry. And clearly the current players have a little bit of an issue with Derrick Henry not telling the Titans that he was going to go finish up his degree at Alabama, probably more so than you and I have.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was handled completely wrong by everybody, in my opinion. and not completely wrong, but could have been handled a thousand times better. And none of this would have happened, and there would have been no discussion about it. I mean, it would have, everybody would have thought he was a hero, but instead we let it get ugly.
Okay, I'm a man of my word. I say that all the time. You know, somebody asks me to do something, I say I'll try to do it, or if I say I'll do it, I make sure that it gets done. I did say if the National Predators swept the Chicago Blackhawks that I would do something embarrassing on the pedestrian bridge downtown.
Uh-huh.
I'm a man of my word.
I'm not even sure it was swept. Did we have the phrase swept in
there?
It
was swept, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes. But
we'll have to review that.
But I said that because I didn't think it was a possibility.
Uh-huh.
Coming up next, we will determine what I should do on that pedestrian bridge should the Predators sweep the Blackhawks on Thursday night. And apparently Floyd came into our pre-show meeting today with this huge...
I've got some thoughts.
You've got... He's already thought it out.
Yeah.
So, and I told him he was about to go into it. I said, stop, save it for the show. So we're going to get that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.